Hello, Knights of the World Table, and thank you for listening. I have several announcements to go over, so bear with me. One, we just got back from our trip to Phoenix, which I mentioned in a previous episode, and it was awesome. Thank you for Dorian and Chrissy Lenz out there, who've played Archibald and Barcherwald on the podcast, episodes not to be missed, and all our new friends at the Neighborhood Comedy Theater in Mesa, Arizona, which is just outside of Phoenix. We did a bunch of shows that were super fun. We did a very successful workshop on using improv principles in D&D and other tabletop games, which was a lot of fun, and we recorded a live improvised episode, which we will be posting on our podcast feed in the near future. So more on that soon. Second, I thought for a while that I had forgotten to post a previous episode, which is called Zorn on the Cob, and I actually completely re-edited that episode and went to post it and then discovered, oh, I didn't not edit the episode before. It was just miscategorized. So you may have missed the episode Zorn on the Cob, which was a couple of episodes ago, so because it was just it wasn't labeled season 6, so it probably didn't appear on the right order on your feed, but it's there now, so you might want to listen to Zorn on the Cob a little bit back. And finally, apologies to my parents, who learned that I had recently had pneumonia by listening to my previous set of episode announcements. So Mom, Dad, appreciate you being loyal, up-to-date listeners, and I will try to communicate better in the future, and also I'm feeling much better. With all that out of the way, here is the final episode in Carlos's very excellent DM run, the epic battle with Lord Valpurgis. So hope you enjoy. Remember, take care of yourself, take care of each other, and make life an adventure.
Returning back to this, Lord Valpurgis has sort of granted the stage to what you assume is a wizard of some kind, maybe a biomantic wizard. And they have just emerged on the stage, and they're not actively doing anything yet, but it seems they might be preparing to do things with the cage full of goblins and the cage with an elk.
Oliver is using the communicator and saying,
"What's our move, everyone? It looks like there's something about to happen. Do we attack? Cause a distraction?"
Glob's gonna try to go electrocute that lady.
All right.
Like right now?
Well, it seems like she's gonna try to combine his friends with the elk deity that they worship, so he wants to interrupt that.
Cool.
Okay.
We're doing it.
Let me check in with the other three before we come back to Glob. Randall?
Oh, Randall's gonna, all right, it's time. And he's gonna open up the wicker basket and he's gonna take out his bag of trash and he's gonna kick the wicker basket away and just have his bag of trash.
Some people now around you react. One person goes like, "Oh, that's what was inside there." And Sarsa?
Sarsa is very concerned about Bruno.
Mm-hmm.
Is Bruno, like, that's not the cage that, like, he's... Where is he relative to the cages where this reveal is happening?
You're on sort of entering the ballroom. It's maybe like 30 feet from the doors you entered into this cage, and it's on the left-hand side. And from you to the stage, it's maybe a little closer to the center, but maybe like 70 feet down. So you're pretty far away from those cages with the elk and the goblin. You do notice that it's the same kind of brass. They're the same kind of cages as these cages that are exhibited here in the ballroom. But you are further away from the main stage.
I want to kind of beeline and get as close to Bruno's cage as I possibly can.
Yeah, with the crowd and guard distracted, you can go past the velvet rope and essentially go like right up to the cage.
Yeah, I want to get over there and I want to see if I can figure out like what it would take to get him out of there.
There is a lock on the door to the cage. So that is probably the first thing you would take a look at.
Then I would probably, just without thinking, make an attempt on that. It's not going to go well, but I would try.
Got it. Okay. We'll save that in a second. Branch? You know what Glob's sort of sneaking around and trying to do? What are you up to?
Branch is going to stop being a dog.
Okay.
I'm going to drop that.
Dog.
And then I'll try to get over roughly to where Glob is going as well. I think I'm more or less already up there. But
you're
going
to be coming in kind of on the right side of the stage and very sneakily out of the sight line of the wizard, sort of like come up on stage right next to them.
If there was time for a bonus action as well, I would have something I would do.
Well, you can prep something in this kind of like interim period.
Let's do that. As soon as a fight breaks out, I'm going to cast Guardian of Nature on myself in great tree form.
Got it.
Glob's like initial motion is like, I mean, as stealthy as possible, but not like, not tiptoeing. Like, I'm going to get to this lady as fast as I can and prevent her from casting whatever she's going to do. So like,
yes,
as quiet as possible, but mainly like fast and like stab her in the butt.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, you should be able to reach them handily. I'm just going to, I'm going to save that last check-in. Just Oliver, you sent everyone a message, but you want to prep anything else or do anything else before I circle back to Glob?
I'm just going to be ready.
Okay. Oliver is at the ready.
Kind of grips the staff a little bit tighter and just being ready to attack.
Glob, you've got your cattle prod. You're sneaking up onto the stage. The only person from this angle who would quickly notice you is not the wizard, but probably Lord Valpurgis. So why don't you go ahead and roll stealth?
23.
Yeah, I mean, Lord Valpurgis does not catch you sneaking around. He's a little too busy kind of like looking from the cages very quickly, but then looking back out of the crowd and just maybe starting to do a little bit of crowd work. He's like lifting his hand, sort of getting people to like clap in tandem. So you wanted to use the cattle prod?
I want to electrocute her with the intention of like breaking up anything she might be able to do that he just implied, and then, well, that's what I want to do for starters.
Got it. Give me an attack roll.
I don't know if I wrote anything down about what that rod actually does, but attack roll is 12.
Randall, do we have
he just made that crap up.
Yeah, do we have any dice that we want to associate with it? 1d10 or something like that?
1d50.
I only have my stats for a +1 dagger, which is the kind of thing he uses, so maybe we could just use that, but it's electrical and it interrupts things.
Yep, sounds good.
All right.
And you rolled a?
16.
Okay, so you, in fact, managed to lunge the cattle prod forward and catch her right in the calf. go ahead and roll damage.
8.
8. It gets her pretty good.
He's a rogue, so if it counts as sneak attack, then there's an extra.
This would count as sneak attack.
He's only level 5, so probably the rest of you also size up. Like, he's not a warrior on your level. He's only a level 5 rogue. So, but total damage for that will be 19 total. Sneak attack. 19 plus total. 8.
Okay, yeah. So you plunge it pretty hard in the calf. So she reacts pretty strongly. Oh, what the? And she turns around to look at you. Before we roll initiative, Sarsa, did you want to try and lockpick the lock or smash the lock?
She's still pretty hammered, right? I think she's going to try to smash the lock.
Okay. Give me an attack roll.
With her mace, since they let me keep my mace, can I do that? So that's going to be a +8 to hit. I rolled a nat 1.
Tracks.
We're having a night, y'all.
You take aim. You're aiming for the lock, but in fact, you just hit some of the bars next to it. So you do manage to bend some bars and mess up the cage a little bit, but probably only enough for Bruno to stick their head out, not fully to get out. And the lock is currently unscathed. Now, everyone can go ahead and roll initiative.
Ooh.
Let's do it.
Oh, dear.
Ooh, baby. 22.
I got Taylor Swift's favorite number. I got 13.
13.
19.
15 for Glob.
15 for Oliver. My dexterity is a +4, Zach. I might go.
Mine is +5.
Oh, okay.
Dexy, Dexy, go.
All right, Rex. Rogue.
On the, like, attack roll that he had on the lady, he would like to, if he gets, like, a full check there, he'd like to cunning action disengage and then just head as far as he can towards Comrade of Comrades, Cleavis the Pointy.
Okay. I mean, you're right by that cage, because that was the cage that she was standing in front of. So the disengagement counts, but the moving is not going to be very difficult. You're, like, right there within a couple feet.
Okay.
And I will not roll for Bruno right now, but know that I may roll for Bruno. The order will be Randall, Sarsa, Glob, Oliver, and then Branch. So, Randall, take it away.
So, at this point, I haven't seen anybody attack Walpurgis yet, right?
No. Lord Walpurgis reacts to the wizard getting zapped, right? They have, like, a sort of face, but that's literally all that's happened. The crowd in general is confused. Some people may have seen that happen, but it seems that the crowd in general is maybe just in the mode of, like, what's going on?
Okay. Randall is going to take out his guitar, and he's going to pull one of the strings back and prepare to launch an arrow at Walpurgis.
Got it.
But he's going to hold on that. He's going to hold that action until he sees anybody else attack or do something. So he's going to delay. It's going to be delayed action until then.
Great. Perfect. So no movement. You're kind of staying where you are, but you're
just staying right there. Just slowly holding it back. Pulling back a string on my guitar.
Very nice. Excellent.
Yep.
Sarsa.
Sarsa is really frustrated right now. What was Bruno's reaction to my very much bungled attempt?
So when you swung, he sort of like stepped back a little bit, but as soon as you hit the bars next to the lock and not the lock itself, Bruno does stick their head out and is just kind of looking at you.
But does he look like mad at me, or is he like,
no?
Yeah.
He looks like he's got cute bear face on right now.
Okay, I'm going to try it again. Try it again.
Okay. Well, Bruno's going to move their head when they see you, like, go for the swing. Oh, sort of like, boom.
Yeah, and, I don't learn my lesson, Carlos. That's not how Sarsa does things.
Roll with advantage, because this time, you're going to get
it. So it's a 27.
Excellent.
And that's going to do 7 damage.
Oh, perfect. You only needed 5. So you managed to snap off the lock from the cage's gate, and you can swing the gate right open. That people do notice. I mean, people around you notice your first swing, but now they're definitely aware of you opening the cage and releasing the bear. So definitely a couple of people are going to go like, oh my lord!
That's, Sarsa's just very pleased with herself, and she just kind of looks at the rest of the group and gives a big thumbs up, like, I got it! That's my turn! I helped.
Yeah, the person who can see you is Oliver, so he'll definitely see your thumbs up. Any movement?
So is Bruno look like he's gonna leave his cage? Like, where's he going?
Bruno looks like he is indeed gonna jump out, but maybe not this round.
Okay. Sarsa's gonna kinda, she's gonna start heading towards the group, but like not at full speed, because she's kind of eyeballing to make sure he's okay and not gonna get like pummeled by guards or anything.
Got it. Okay, so you move, you know, maybe like 15, 20 feet closer to the stage. And next up, we got Glob. Glob, you just shocked that lady. Her calf convulsed, and she did not like that. She looks very pissed off at you. You disengaged and then move closer to Cleavis the Pointy's cage, right? Is that still your action? Great.
He wants to try to use the keys to free Cleavis the Pointy.
Ah,
great,
okay.
Cleavis, comrade of comrades.
So you have 6 keys on the key ring. So roll the d6.
Oh, a 1.
A 1. Okay. The first key you attempt to use does not fit in this lock. you get one more roll this turn.
Oh man.
And if you roll a one, you can reroll.
A five.
That one also does not fit in this deal. So both of those are out. I'll kind of allow this as a kind of bonus action. So if you still want to do something else, feel free. If you wanted, you could also just take the full action and just try all the keys and then guarantee a success.
Yeah, I think he would.
Okay. So Glob, in sort of like desperation after failing the first two keys, just like tries every single key. Key for a roll of six would have been the one. So it's the one at the very end of the keychain. And that one indeed snaps off the lock and you can open the cage.
I open the cage.
Cleavis the Pointy does not move. Cleavis the Pointy looks down at you, but otherwise is like immobile.
Do I have a sense of like that's he's just not moving or he's unable to move?
No, he's just not moving. You can't sense that there's any kind of like spell or trickery sort of going on.
Okay. Is the wizard woman kind of like oriented towards me? Does she look like she's going to be like following me?
She was like a couple feet away from that cage. So she's still pretty nearby and very pissed off at you. So she hasn't done anything yet, but she's seeing you doing all this.
Are the goblins similarly still, or are they looking more?
No, the goblins are much more like rattling the cages, like just kind of like like wriggling around.
All right, yeah, I'm gonna try to run past her and go to the goblin cages then.
Okay, I figure you probably have enough movement left to be there, but that's probably it for your turn.
Okay.
And then you disengaged, so technically you would slip by the Biomancer.
Well, yeah. If I had to run like back past her, then yes. She might get like an reaction, you know, like a opportunity attack. She couldn't do a spell as a wizard, but she could like swipe at me if I have to like go through her like space. Also, as a goblin, I can like run through her legs and stuff. I feel like that's a goblin trait.
Let's say she takes a swipe at you as you run past with her staff. Just trying to bonk you. So she rolled an 11. Does that hit?
Nope.
Ah. Okay. So she swipes, but actually, she swipes horizontally. So kind of ends up going, above your head as you like slightly duck as you run past, and you're over by the goblin cages now. And that is it for you. Oliver, take it away.
I'm back kind of where Sarsa is, and how far away are we from the stage and from...
You're maybe like 70 feet away from the stage. So, you know, if you sprinted, you could get pretty close. If you were just moving at your regular movement, it might take you a bit more.
Yeah. So the imminent threats are besides the bear that just was released. Is this wizard and then there's the... What's his face?
Lord Volpurgus.
Is anybody fighting Volpurgus?
Not currently, no.
Okay, I'm going to go after him.
Ooh, boy.
That's our mission, so that's what needs to happen. So I'm going to use my full movement of 55 feet, monk, and run. And then I'll use a bonus action, key point, Step of the Wind, to dash further to close the distance with Volpurgus and then take my action to attack.
Got it. Okay.
Nice. Very monkey.
Because I am a monk.
Lord Volpurgus does manage to react enough to like turn to face you as you're like
just
coming
to attack. Old elf like...
and you manage to get up on the stage and then strike them with your staff.
Leap up and smack. All right.
Roll for it.
That's going to be a dirty 20 to hit.
A dirty 20 definitely hits.
First attack, 10 bludgeoning damage. Please make a wisdom saving throw.
Wisdom saving
throw. It's going to be a 23. Oh, that will definitely save.
Okay.
All right, not stunned. All right, well, I'm going to attack him again.
Okay.
Second attack, 13.
A 13 will not hit. So that first one smacked him, and then for that second one, even though he took the brunt of the impact, he manages to just move his shoulder away from the swipe.
And I'll just kind of pull back the pike and staff and say, well met!
Be ready. Incoming!
Yep. Is that the Undertaker's music? Because now Randall's attack comes in from the crowd.
Oh, yeah! Oh, that's going to be a 23 to hit, boy!
Oh, 23 to hit hits! So,
okay.
Yeah.
So,
Oliver now inadvertently positioned Lord Valpurgis right where you needed him, and the arrow you sent flying is a direct hit.
All right, so that's going to be a 5 damage, but I'm going to use an ability I haven't used before,
because
I haven't done a lot of this. It's going to be Psychic Blades from the College of Whispers. So I'm going to use one of my Bardic Inspirations.
Nice. Okay.
And I'm going to add an additional 2d6 psychic damage to the target.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be psychic damage, and it's going to be 2d6. So it'll be 5 plus 9, so 14 damage.
Ooh. 14 damage. Well done.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Should have been more careful.
Hey, I hit him.
Hooray.
Well done, Randall.
Branch. This brings us to
you. All right. Two paths I might go here. I wanted to check in, Carlos and Zach, with you guys. So Clovis the Pointy, I believe, is the...
Clevis.
Elk is... Clevis the Pointy. I was so close. Mm-hmm. So since Branch faked his death and left, how much of the Clevis the Pointy story do you think he would know?
Just what he overheard as he was pretending to be dead.
Okay. I think that's probably enough. All right, I'll go this route.
I think Glob has, like, kind of referenced a few times Clevis as, like, a near deity, comrade of comrades sort of figure. So you have a sense that, like, something's gone a little weird with the story since you left.
Okay, I'm going to do a different thing then. I am going to cast Speak with Animals.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to then go over to Clevis and say, "Hey, Clevis. Your people need your help. Will you help me?"
"I recognize you, Branch, smallest branch in the forest."
"Yes, Branch is sorry that you were blamed for Branch's death. But you are a god now, so, eh?"
"Indeed, things have changed, and yet they have not changed much at all. I will help you fight." And Cleavis, like, rears back on his hind legs in an elk style and steps out of the cage.
Awesome. That'll probably be it for me on this turn. Except I guess I'll use whatever remaining movement I have to go over towards the goblins.
Got it. You will also be running past the wizard there, so they'll also take an opportunity. Ooh, is a 19 gonna hit you?
Yep.
So they managed to bonk you on the head. That's not that much. Oh, like 6 damage?
Branch barely even notices.
That's a light bonk. She's trying to, like, get it good, but you're already, like, zipping past by the time you notice the impact.
"Get them, Clevis!"
It is now the Biomancer's turn to act.
Ruh-roh.
And
anything with the word mancer in it is probably not a great...
Indeed.
What field do you study? Something in the Mancers, Techno, Bio, Necro.
Romancers.
I feel like Mancers is less of a field and more of like a degree. Like instead of getting your Masters, you get your Mancers.
Uh-huh. Your Mancery. It's an MA.
So, as the Biomancer failed an attack on Glob and then barely glanced on Branch as they ran by, they turn back and notice that Clevis has escaped their cage and looks like legs splayed out, horns down. That elk's looking aggressive. So the Biomancer does not like that, and they are going to cast Hold Monster on Clevis.
Oh,
rude!
Is he a monster?
He's a talking antler.
He's a talking elk who's worshipped as a god. You know, tomato, tomato. Clevis fails their wisdom saving throw, and Clevis is now paralyzed. So the elk in that stance is now like kind of like gently vibrating and just like held down by the biomancer. But the biomancer otherwise does not move and is just holding down Clevis. Is that a concentration spell? Yes. Yeah, so they are concentrating on just holding Clevis. It's like, get back in your cage, animal.
Rude.
And next up is Lord Valpurgis. Speaking of rude.
Yeah, bring it.
Lord Valpurgis, after being hit by that arrow and the psychic damage, is just like reeling back. And then he comes back up and he's like, gives a bit of a laugh. And it's like, we want to play, do we? The hunt is on! And he drops his robe and starts to transform. But this is not a regular transformation. You do see a lot of hair sort of like spurt out. He gets huge mutton chops. You know, he gets hairier in a lot of other places. But rather than become a werewolf or werebear or something like that, you see enormous wolf jaws grow out of his chest. What? Yeah. so he's some sort of a were something, a were beast, but rather than his face transforming into a wolf or something else, it seems like there's a big wolf jaw just coming out of his chest, chomping down. He does get claws, and his eyes go like yellow red, and he like becomes a little bit larger. Probably doesn't become a large creature. He's still medium-sized. But he's, after this transformation, he turns to Oliver and goes,
oh dear, this is a lot bigger than what I, friends?
And since you're in chomping range of these big jaws, that is the first thing he's going to attempt. He's going to attempt
to bite. Sure. Yeah.
He's going to do that.
Is a 16 gonna hit?
Nope.
Ooh, lucky you. Okay, so he attempts to chomp down, but you manage to dodge out of the way quite ably. You do get a whiff of those jaws. It smells nasty, terrible. Ugh. Breath, and definitely too close to comfort when those huge mandibles chop down.
Ah, goodness gracious me.
However, he will take a legendary action here, and he will howl. So he turns up these big mandibles on his chest and just goes, "Hurr!" That is going to affect Glob, Branch, and Oliver. I think the other people are just going to be too far away.
Do I have any insight in what he's like howling or doing or what that, or just
a blood-curdling howl? It's werewolf sounding, but you know, if he's a werewolf, he's a different kind than you've sort of encountered in your support group or in your own transformations. Give me a wisdom saving throw, my dudes.
That's a 30.
30? Excellent.
I rolled a nat 20 and I have plus 10 on wisdom saving throws.
15 for Glob.
14 for Oliver.
Glob and Oliver, both of you are frightened of the werewolf for the next minute. You can repeat a saving throw at the end of your turn.
That just means we can't get closer to him, right? We just...
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
We could still attack him, but...
Yes.
We get disadvantage on attacks or something.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yep. Disadvantage on ability checks and attack rolls while the source of its fear is within line of sight, and you cannot willingly move closer to the source.
Okay.
So you're pretty freaked out, but you're not the only ones freaked out. The crowd is now erupted in panic screams, and everyone basically makes a beeline for the exits and starts essentially rioting out of here, knocking waiters over, just knocking each other over, just trying to exit. That will end up affecting movement for the next round. Anyone that's out in the crowd is going to have reduced movement by 10 feet, but you will have advantage on any stealth-related actions you want to take. And we're back at the top of the order with Randall.
Oh, dang. Okay. What was going on with the bear? The bear is free.
free. The bear is free, and you reminded me I need to roll initiative for the bear. Oh, excellent. Okay, so the bear will act after Sarsa.
Randall is going to, he still has a guitar in his hand.
Yes.
And he is going to plug it into the amplifier, and he is going to like strum up some energy, and then finally do like a big hit like that, and it's going to shoot out a burst of energy. It's going to kind of travel up, and it's going to, boom, erupt in a 10-foot radius.
Oh.
He's casting Shatter, essentially. So everybody in 10-foot of Vulpolgus must make a constitution saving throw.
That's including me, right?
If you're within 10 feet, yeah. Then yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that's Glob and
sorry, buddy.
And Oliver.
That'll be a 15 save DC and Glob. But I didn't know Glob was there, so sorry, Glob.
I got 21. 20.
Yeah, we're good. It's probably half damage. We're not nice. That good.
Con saving throw, you said?
Yep.
Okay, they got a 15.
Oh, they tied the DC.
They tied? Oh, man.
All right. Well, they will take half as much of 3d8 shattering. Let me give you that. 3d8. So they'll take, oh, God, that's a bad roll. Wow, a 1, a 3, and a 2.
Oh.
Oh, buddy.
On D8s. So take 3 damage. Everybody takes 3 damage.
Everybody in that field takes 3 damage. So what's shatter damage like? Well, what words would you use to describe it?
That was like thunder damage, I think, right?
Yeah, it's like technically like thunder damage.
Got it. Okay,
it's, so, like it's like a ringing noise.
Got it.
It's
everyone in that damage. Area is kind of affected by a kind of like shaking.
The boom. Ring in the air, yeah.
A ring in the air, including the cage that like the goblins are in, also rattles, and the goblins inside are like, I'm not going to roll a save for them. I'm just assuming they're fine. And Lord Vulpurgus is like slightly annoyed by it, but otherwise it's just like, shakes it right off.
God, I used one of my higher slots for that. Okay, that's it. I'll start kind of walking towards a little bit, but staying, keeping my distance.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your speed? Is 25 or 30 feet?
It's probably 30.
Okay.
Yeah, so it'll be 20.
So you get like 20 feet closer. Yeah. You're probably like another movement away from the stage, but you're fairly close.
Perfect.
Sarsa.
So now that there's crowd between me and the rest of the group,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna look back and I'm gonna run towards Bruno,
mm-hmm.
and I'm gonna try to ride him.
Are you gonna try and communicate that to Bruno before trying to hop on?
I mean, I feel like our bond at this point doesn't really need words.
Okay, all right.
But like in Sarsa's mind,
she feels that way. Very drunk Sarsa, who's been talking to a bear, feels very confident about that.
Yep.
So, like, as she's running, she's like wildly pantomiming, like with her hands, like, no, mm-hmm. here, and then me, and she points at herself, and then she puts her hand on top of her hand, like, I'm gonna go here on you. And like, but it's like as she's running, and then she's gonna attempt
Bruno flutters his little bat wings, and then kind of like dips down his head and neck like a little bit, head, neck, and shoulders. So they seem into it.
Well, then yeah, I'm gonna attempt to jump on his back.
Okay, go ahead and roll acrobatics on this one. With advantage, because Bruno's helping you out with the stunt.
That's gonna be a 20.
20. Absolutely perfect. So you might be hammered, but you are not any less graceful than you usually are.
This is how I win all my bar bets.
You managed to not just jump, but in midair turn yourself so you're facing the right direction, and then land upon the back of the shoulders of Bruno, and you are now riding a bear. Well, a bear.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm excited. That's all I needed. If that's all that happens in this fight, like even if we don't make it to the fight, I'm good. I'm good.
Will that do it for your turn?
I mean, I still have like a sparrow and a chipmunk.
They both come out of the woodworks, the clothes, yeah. The overcoat you're wearing, and I'm now they're like one, either one on your shoulder. You are the Beastmaster, Sarza.
She just starts humming. And yeah, and she like just points forward like, charge!
Awesome. Awesome.
That's it.
Bruno's turn is just going to consist of charging. And because they're so large that people are just going to, even if they're panicking and trying to run, they're not going to get in the way of a bear. So his movement speed is not going to be impacted. And Bruno is going to go ahead and take a dash action. So I believe a brown bear's speed is 40 feet. So that's 80 feet. They'll manage to get themselves all the way up to the stage and then jump on up with Sarsa on top. And now you are on the stage. If you had to face either opponent, is it Lord Valpurgis or is it the Biomancer?
I think she's going for the BBEG, so Valpurnus.
Okay, you are facing...
Like, that's the guy that enslaved Bruno, so like, yeah. There's a vengeance quest
that's
here.
That's right. And as you land on the stage, Bruno huffs, and you're ready for action for next turn. Glob?
Yes?
You're up next.
Okay, can I reasonably just kind of hand off the keys to the goblins so that they could free themselves? They had a minute.
Yes.
And they like reach out and get into the...
You'll have to talk to one of them.
Okay.
they're
seems looted.
They're a little shook up from the smashing of the cage. So they're like, ah, they don't really notice that you're like next to the cage.
I'm right up there. Hey, comrade, puddle of mud, comrade, bird that fell out of the tree. Here, take the keys.
Is that
free yourself?
Comrade, where have you been? We have missed you.
I escaped. It is I, Glob, on end of Stag's nose. Please, take this. Free yourself.
What is... these are keys? Which key?
They're, like, shaking the key ring.
I don't know. 1 through 5. It's not 6.
And they, like, randomly start trying to jam a key in there. So their puddle of mud is sort of trying to do that on the cage.
So my intent is to kind of like hand that off, leave them to deal with that, mm-hmm. and run back and try to electrocute the wizard again to break her concentration.
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead. You successfully, I mean, movement wise, you're moving away from Lord Valpurgis, so you should be fine.
Yeah.
And go ahead and roll an attack roll.
Come on. Oh, yeah, 20.
20, total. Perfect. That hits. So you're going to hit him on the other calf, the unshot calf. Go ahead and give me damage.
9 from electrical damage. If I have, I don't even know how to determine if I might have sneak attack. I guess if there's an ally in range, I could get sneak attack on top of that.
You know, Cleavis counts as an ally, and they are distracted. Nice. So let's go for it.
Way to go. All right, so that's going to be 9 plus 8, 17 total.
17. Damn, you are whittling this Biomancer down. So you shock him almost equally as bad on the left calf, and you indeed do break concentration. Gah, they say.
Nice.
I don't think I ever rolled initiative for Cleavis, so I'll do that right now. Okay. Cleavis will act after Branch. I believe movement action, that pretty much takes care of everything for you, Glob.
If I have bonus action, depends on how you count the key exchange, but if I have a bonus action, I'll disengage again.
I'll give it to you. Yeah.
All right.
Back so you managed off. To... You do a little hop.
I'm like headed backstage away from the thing I electrocuted, and behind that is the thing I'm afraid of. So
yeah,
like,
you're just back, zipping back. Around. Yeah. Oliver, it's your turn.
I'm still frightened.
Oh, wait. Also... Yeah, so I can roll to try to break the fear, right?
Yes, you can roll to be unfrightened. And what is that roll
that was
against?
Wisdom saving throw, I think it was.
Yeah, 15. I think it's just wisdom saving throw against the same DC. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 13, I don't think. Was it 15?
13 does not make it.
Okay. Still frightened. Still afraid.
Still frightened.
Carry on.
All right. Big, big, giant, terrifying monster. Okay, you can do this, Oliver.
I'm trying to, like, psych myself up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to I have a polearm master, so I can still attack from a slight distance. Okay. So I'm still going to attack it without getting close to it. So I'm going to use my staff of striking.
It is with disadvantage, yes. Also, I don't think we've been doing the plus minus with your rolls. So we might
That's
just for skills.
With just for skill checks, I have been doing, but
oh, okay.
Not for saving throws or attacks, right?
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Perfect. Thank
so
you.
I rolled a 19 and a 27, so 19 to hit.
19 to hit hits.
Okay.
So you managed to hit them on the big snout that's coming out of their chest.
Yeah, so I'm going to use 3 charges on my staff of striking. I haven't really done this a lot. 10 bludgeoning damage, 6 force damage to the dude. And then Valpurgus mm-hmm. monster. That's mm-hmm. my first attack. I'm going to attack again with disadvantage.
You got it.
15.
A 15 will not hit.
Swing and a miss. I'm going to take a bonus action to take patient defense. Spend a key point. Patient defense. So I'll take the dodge action on my turn.
Okay, great.
That's my turn.
That's it.
So mixed into initiative right now, there's a bear and an elk and maybe some goblins and possibly a sparrow and a chipmunk. Is that what you're
possibly
checking?
Some goblins. I think the sparrow and the chipmunk might just be bonus actions for Sarsu's turn.
Seems good.
Yeah. So I don't have to add them to the initiative. And the goblins in the cage for now are still in the cage. So maybe next round, I'll deal with that. Branch, it is now your turn.
Okay. Branch, after not being scared by Valpurgus, says, you're not scary. This is scary. And then I'm going to use a bonus action to wild shape into a giant subterranean lizard.
Oh, jeez. All right.
And then
subterranean lizard.
Yep. I'm going to use my multi attack there. I'm going to go, I'm going to try to bite Valpurgus.
Okay.
Oh, that's going to miss.
Somewhere far away, Coach flinches.
Actually, I think Salias flinches. Coach ate me.
Salias flinches a little bit.
Yeah. All right. So the bite is a 10 to hit. So that's probably going to miss, I expect.
That does miss, yes.
But my other attack, I'm going to use a tail, and I'm going to go after. I'm pretty sure I'm long enough to hit both of these guys, but if not, I'll walk some distance. I'm going to go use my tail to attack the biomancer.
Yeah, I think spacing wise, it makes sense that you'd be able to reach her with your tail. Go for it.
Yeah, that's a dirty 20.
Nice. That dirty 20 is going to hit. Woo! So you whip them up.
12 damage.
So you whip your tail around, you hit her pretty hard in the torso, and kind of like knock the wind out of her. Oof.
Have her roll a DC 15 strength saving throw.
Okay. 8.
She is prone.
She's prone. Okay, so you knocked her down onto the ground. Anything else?
Telepathy. Stay down.
She hears you. She does not like it. She essentially just growls because she's out of breath. It is now Cleavis's turn. Cleavis, with a prone target, is just going to go straight for a stag stab. They're just going to aim their prongs at the ground and go straight for the biomancer. So, advantage, right? Prone?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that hits. Okay, so Cleavis hits the biomancer. That is going to be 10 damage. Cleavis gets in there pretty good and catches her like right on the shoulders. Just like stabs her on the shoulders. Let me do a little calculator magic here just to see how she's doing. That's what a calculator sounds like for sure.
That's what an adding machine sounds like.
Oh, yeah, actually, you're right. I'm old enough to know. I was alive during that part of the 20th century. They look pretty worse for the wear, the biomancer does on the ground. They are prone. They've been attacked by Cleavis. It is now the biomancer's turn. What can they do here? They can't really cast anything from the ground, right?
I think they have to use their movement to get up in order to be able to do anything.
Yes, they have to move their... so they use their movement to get up. After getting up, they are going to... cast Cone of Cold.
Uh-oh.
Look that up.
Uh-oh. Yep. Oh, no. Not good.
60-foot cone. Oh, Jesus. Okay.
It hits everyone.
I believe they're going to attempt the Cone of Cold towards the glob direction of things. So I think if that catches anyone, it's going to be Glob, Branch, probably Valpurgis, and Oliver, too.
Dex save?
It is Constitution saving throw.
Biscuits.
Sweet. My con is up while I'm in this form.
14.
14.
22.
22. Okay, that's good.
13.
13. Oh, Branch, you're going to take full damage. The Glob and Oliver, our other two party members, will take half damage. Now allow me to roll a bunch of dice now.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Kind of cold. Jeez Louise. Is no joke, y'all.
Okay, so that is 28 cold damage.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
And 14 for anyone that takes half.
Never just say, is that it, to a DM. Oh,
okay. I just wanted to be able to use my lizard at least one more round. Managed to stay up. So.
I will say, hopefully this kills no one, because a creature killed by the spell becomes a frozen statue.
Cool.
Oh, that sounds awesome, actually.
I'm a temporary character anyway.
What about whatever happened to Dennis, General Dennis? Is he still around?
I think General Dennis started
hiding.
They got run over by Bruno as a.
Oh, no.
Oh, this could have been his redemption arc.
That bear stepped on me.
He should have been frozen.
Oh, General Dennis. It is now Lord Valpurgis' turn. Oh, I was supposed to roll a save for Lord Valpurgis, too.
Here. Oh, I didn't roll for for wisdom, too. I didn't do that. To see if I'm still frightened.
Oh, right. Yes. You can go ahead and do that now.
21?
Yes. That actually, you are now unfrightened.
Yeah.
Managing to smack him unfrightened you. So Lord Valpurgis takes 14. Okay. It is now Lord Valpurgis' turn. Lord Valpurgis engaged in mortal combat with Oliver. So they are going to go in for the double claw swipe here. A nat 20. That first claw attack's gonna hit. And then the second one is... Oh, okay. This one's a 15?
15 misses.
15 misses. Okay. So he only catches you with one. You manage to dodge out of the way of the one, but the other one comes in, you know, like a fighting game, like just comes in fast and pretty heavy. Okay, so that is going to be 15 damage.
Oof.
And then Lord Valpurgis is going to take another legendary action. This time he is going to leap from where he is to on top of the cage that has the goblins on it. So he, like, where he is, he just goes and jumps up on top of that cage with all the goblins on it, rattles it around. They get a little, like, freaked out.
And attack of opportunity.
Oh, sure.
18?
18 hits. Just hits.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Cool. 17 bludgeoning damage.
17 bludgeoning damage. Okay, so as Lord Valpurgis makes their leap up into the air, you whack him in the nards. You pretty handily manage to smack him in the groin. And
he's... Oh, you know what? I'll expend 3 more charges to give him an extra D8.
To just really hit him in the nards. Okay.
Plus 4 force damage.
Plus 4 force damage. Okay. So he really feels it. Like one of them goes back in and then comes back out. You know, it's
hold
intense.
Hold on. I was doing that wrong. It's for each charge I do.
Oh, okay. That
die. So hold on.
That buddy, you're going to kill him.
6 and 6. So it's a total of 12, 16. Total of 16 force damage. basically hit him, and then it like,
yeah,
kind of like.
So Lord Valpurgis gets hit very hard in the groin area as they leap and come down on the cage. They are indeed their legs are like coming in. They're like they were gonna try and look tough up there, but it looks like they sustained some amount of damage up there, and they look pretty worse for the wear.
We were just having fun. Don't go anywhere yet.
That brings us back to the top of the order, to Randall.
All right, Randall is going to see Sarsa riding on the bear. Is going to run over. Can he get to where the bear is? Is he able to get there? He's got, 20 feet of movement?
Yeah, you're close enough that you can get pretty much right up against the bear.
All right, I want to get to the bear, and I'm going to take out the weird jar of goop that I got from before that turns red and blue.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to wait for it to turn red. And then I'm going to take some out and I'm going to slather it on the bear, inducing the enlarge aspect to make the bear big.
Enlarge. Okay.
It was red, right? I just listened to that episode, so I think red was big. And it makes things bigger. So if it's the same effect as enlarge, it will be one category bigger, and target's attacks deal extra 1d4 damage.
Wow.
For the bear.
Okay. So one category bigger for the bear is huge. So you've created a chonker out of this.
That's a huge
one. Sarsa, you do manage to stay balanced on top of Bruno, but you are much higher up vertically than you were just a moment ago.
Hang on, Sarsa. rubs the goop on the bear.
Sarsa, that brings us to you.
Yeah, so that was an unexpected thing. So I'm going to go ahead, and we've got Lord
Volpurgus.
Volpurgusette in front of me, who's not looking super hot, but I want the bear to really have the vengeance of taking him down. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go ahead and cast, what would be the best thing I could do here?
He's like, he jumped up on a cage too. So just keep that in mind.
Yes.
So he's like,
though now cage. That Bruno is huge, they'll have no problem reaching the top of that cage.
He's right at mouth level.
I'm going to use motivational speech.
Mm.
And that doesn't really, well, whatever. Why not? Screw it. I'm going to give a very drunken motivational speech. I'm going to say, Bruno, it's your moment. This is what you've been waiting for, to seek your vengeance on this coward right here. And, you know, when this is all over, we should buy a bar
together. Bear bar.
And so she cast that. So, so he's got that going on.
Got it. What's that going to give him?
It's up to extra five, dice? It's up to five creatures, so that'll hit Randall. That'll hit basically everybody in the party that's within 60 feet.
Great. It'll also hit your little companions. You can use them as bonus actions if you wanted to just, peck at someone or something.
All right. Jameson, Jose, go distract him. So she's gonna send her little sparrow to peck on his eyes, and mm-hmm. Her little chipmunk to go chew on his feet, so that hopefully Bruno can get a decent swipe in.
Both of them are distracting Lord Valpurgis, and he does take one damage from each one. So
nice.
Two damage from your little doodlings. Excellent. It is now Bruno's turn. Because there's a possibility here that Bruno might knock it out of the park, Sarsa, would you like the role for Bruno in case Valpurgis ends up 6 feet deep?
Sure. Would this be strength?
Yes, it's going to be a strength roll. Bruno's going to go up there and go for both a claw attack and a bite attack. And they get plus four to strength.
I don't know what the stats on a bear would be, so I'm just going to roll a straight just d20 and...
Yeah, I'll add it up.
Assume it'd be like plus maybe two or three or something. Hmm. Oh, no. I don't think I should be rolling for this bear, you guys.
Do you want me to do the rolls? I'll just let you describe things if it succeeds. I'll go ahead and do the rolls. Yeah, don't worry.
Full disclosure, that was another nat one.
We'll skip that. Don't worry. We're getting to the finish line. Don't worry about it. Okay, here we go.
There's a reason Sarsa is basically going for the assist. Like, I think at this point she realizes that she's...
Bruno rears back a little and goes in for a claw swipe, and then he goes in for a bite. And he is going to... Okay, that's going to be a 13. That's not going to hit Valpurgis. But the next one's going to be a 23, and that one is going to hit him. And that one is 2d6 slashing damage. So let's see. Okay, that's 7 plus 4, 11 plus 1d4, right? So that's 15. Okay, so Bruno... tries to bite at Valpurgis, and he just manages to bite down on the brass cage. But as Valpurgis is being distracted by the sparrow and chipmunk, the claw swipe knocks him off the top of the cage, so he falls down prone, and he takes a bunch of damage from that. He looks pretty bloodied and beat up. And that is Bruno's turn. Glob, it is now your turn. You are still frightened of Lord Valpurgis.
There's a giant bear. Clovis is on the move, seemingly. All right, so Lord Valpurgis has reoriented himself, so I can't approach him because I'm still afraid. Could I move towards Clovis the pointy?
Yes, Clovis the pointy is engaged with the Biomancer.
All right, so I want to run up and try to ride Clovis the Pointy.
as you're running up, Clovis understands. In your history with Clovis, have you ridden Clovis before?
No, absolutely not. I don't feel like goblins ride Clovis, but
okay.
He's all amped up on rescuing his goblin family.
Okay, so then I do want you to make a roll with advantage, animal handling.
12?
Good enough. It's inelegant. It's not exactly smooth. You know, it takes you a little long to put one leg over. But eventually, like, Clovis, like, moves a little bit, and that firmly seats you on top of Clovis now.
That's good enough. My other roll would have been a 0, so advantage was... valuable. From up there, can I glance at... There were other cages, right? It wasn't just Bruno?
Yes, there were other cages. You can see him from among the crowds. There's...
What can I kind of see here in the other cages?
You see a tiger with a turtle shell in one, a lion with gorilla arms in another, and a horse with an alligator head in the third one.
Oh man, these seem very fun to free. Okay. Well, his original plan was to free all of those creatures, but he gave the keys to the goblins, so he's just on Clovis. Probably, can he try to reach down and shock the Biomancer again?
Sure.
Or is it's fine if his turn was clamoring up onto Clovis.
I mean, you could also help Clovis for their next attack.
Yeah, that's yes, I'll do that.
All right, so you're going to help Clovis kind of like go in for the final stab on the Biomancer when their turn comes up.
I'll also try to be unafraid, right? That's wisdom.
Yes, go ahead and roll.
18.
18, you break out of it. You are no longer frightened of Valpurgis. Riding Clovis has given you a serenity.
I feel the strength of Clovis.
Yes.
Ride, free my people. Thank you, comrade.
Indeed. Oliver, it's your turn.
All right, Valpurgis is still up on the cage.
No, he fell down prone. He's prone. In front of the cage. Yes.
Ooh,
he is prone.
So I get advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think we're going to roll some superiority dice this time. Let's see.
Make it a good one. He's on the ropes.
We'll attack twice with Staff of Striking. 30, 20.
Okay, that hits.
Just do the other one. That'll be 23.
That will also hit.
We'll just give you a whole bunch of damage. So we got bludgeoning. We got 14 and 16. That's going to be 30 bludgeoning damage. Just for the fun of it, I'll throw in a superiority dice. So I'll do what's called a deft strike. I can use my weapon to cause an extra D8, which is going to be 2. So extra 2 damage. So 32 damage total.
Oliver, describe your victory against Lord Paul.
Boom!
Yeah.
Later. Truly sorry, my friend. You were a disgusting creature, and I assumed that... Well, I assumed you'd be more of a gentleman, but you were our target and our mission. And I just say this and kind of whack him on his stomach, wolf jaw face, and try to, you know, smack him out of commission.
As you smack down on it, you come down hard enough to break that jaw on his chest, and he convulses and starts to turn back into a regular person while convulsing there on the floor, and then after dramatically just falls down, exhausted and very dead. In service of expediency, the Biomancer, pretty freaked out by this, turns around to try and run, but Cleavis the Pointy is right there, and Cleavis the Pointy just immediately impales her upon the antlers.
Awesome.
That glob drives through her, and yeah, pretty much. And so she just slumps dead on Cleavis's stag horns. Cleavis just lowers their head to let them slide off to the floor, dead and defeated.
Very Ming the Merciless.
Branch just leans over and picks up the Biomancer in his mouth and swallows him up.
You all hear a click, and the gate opens to the goblin's cage, and they're like,
"Now we are ready. We are ready for fight." Are we late?
I'm gonna become a regular goblin and say, "Hello."
Burp.
It is Branch.
Yes, the great Clovis has brought me back for this fight.
You hear in your head, it is Cleavis.
Cleavis, yes, Cleavis. because he's a cloven animal, I get the name confused. Branch is so dumb.
He is very disrespectful to Cleavis. And also, he was dead, we thought, but also not now. This is two strikes Branch have now.
Hold on a minute, goblins. I know you're small and small of brain, but this Branch is very...
Sorry about my racist friend.
This young goblin has done more for the realms than any of you will ever imagine. And if he not only rescued you, but he took on a giant beast. He has fought... terrible monsters, and he has fought for not just your folk, but all folks across the realm. You should be thanking him.
Is this true, Branch? You have murdered, but not animals, just other things?
Animals are nice, so don't kill them. But humans, we know, not all good.
Branch has helped with many things in rescuing you, and his other friends are not... too bad.
And if memory serves correctly from I wasn't there, but he did make friends and ride a dragon turtle.
Yes, this is also true.
This all sounds very impressive. Let us confer.
We should ask Cleavis.
Cleavis? What say you?
Great Cleavis.
Cleavis.
Cleavis turns to Branch and goes, "A branch from the smallest tree in the forest. You are now Stagkin. And he like touches you with the horns, and you could swear you hear a tinkle sound, but it couldn't have come from anywhere. But all the other goblins know what Stagkin means. You are on the level of Cleavis now. So to them, that's pretty good.
Ah, if I had another wild shape charge, I would totally turn into a giant Elkhorn.
Could turn into a tiny one. Level zero elk.
I turn into a deer. I can turn into a deer. And then that is within my power. I grab my amulet and turn into a deer, and then I do that like bow.
the Bambi bow.
And I say, thank you, Branch is truly honored.
Indeed. Impressive, but too sentimental for Cleavis. And then Cleavis turns around and they aim their horns at the cage that they came out of, and a blue portal appears. Whoa. Now, warriors, return from whence you came.
Us warriors?
The moose gave us portal?
I think he means all of you.
I'm going to grab the body of Vulpurgus.
Yep.
Can I, real quick, I just want to search him and see if I can find, like, the coin, the Platinum Syndicate coin, and anything else.
I will relay those things to Zach.
I don't think also, like, the Biomancer, Matt doesn't get to eat the Biomancer and then immediately turn into a goblin. I think you would it would probably appear next to you. There's also a Biomancer body there. Let's just establish.
Sure.
You can't eat people and then just, like, disapparate them. Or there's a tiny Biomancer in Branch's stomach.
I don't know how that works. I just assumed it shrank with my relative size. And I'm just really full now.
I don't think you get to keep it.
That's fine. I didn't need that Biomancer anyway. I've got Biomancer at home.
It goes right to your hips.
Goodbye, good people of wherever this realm is all right. Come on, everyone.
Branch turns back into Branch one more time before he leaves and says,
"Glob, Bird, all of you, Branch is sorry for the deception. It was good to see you again. Branch will see you soon." And then he turns around and books it into the portal.
I'm taking the body of Vulpurgus.
Hey, yeah, we'll take the rest of those hors d'oeuvres to go.
Randall stocks up on a bunch of the trays that the waiters dropped and left behind.
It's perfect. This was a great mission, guys. Let's go.
Bruno, you were amazing, and I'm so glad that I met you. And I'm really going to think about what you said about really opening up and not letting fear rule my life. But also, you know, when you're ready to open up that bar, let me know. Yeah, me too, buddy. Me too.
Come on down to Bruno's Bar and Grill. Open late on Wednesdays.
And then Sars is just going to give him like a little pat on the head, and then she's going to go, "Jameson and Jose, you two, watch out after Bruno, all right? In this life, you've only got the people that you care about that love you back."
They gave you a little salute.
And she'll go head towards the portal.
Yeah, Glob says, "Okay, well, I guess we live here now."
as Glob and the goblins and Bruno are just on stage just wondering what's going on, the door at the end of the ballroom bursts open. And Bartha and her group of dwarf ladies come in. And it's like, finally, we get here. Where's the barn? And that does it.
Yay!
Thank you.